the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is an overview of the WebSphere Application Server Class Loader. Today's presenter is Fan Yang. Fan has joined IBM WebSphere Application Server Level 2 support since August 2006. She works in WebSphere web team that provides support for different WebSphere application server runtime components, such as Class Loader, Web Container, JSP, and HTTP Session. At this point in time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Fan.
Thank you, Joseph. Hello, everyone. Today, I'm going to present an overview of WebSphere Application Server Class Loader. So please go to page 2 and let's look at the agenda for today's presentation. The first one we will be looking at is the WebSphere Class Loader hierarchy, which includes different types of class loader, such as Java Class Loader, WebSphere Application Class Loader, and OSGI Class Loader. Next, I will cover the WebSphere Class Loader configuration that includes Class Loader Policy and Class Loader Mode, and how to configure them from the admin console. I will provide some examples to show how the Class Loader works with different Class Loader settings. After that, we will be looking at Shared Library Configuration and Isolate Shared Library. That is new in WebSphere version 7. And last, we will go over some of the common issues and how to resolve them. So please go to page 3. So now let's look at the WebSphere Class Loader hierarchy. Please go to page 4. So before we are going to look at more detail of the Class Loader hierarchy, I would like to briefly review the definition of the Class Loader. So what is the Class Loader? A Class Loader is an object that uses a delegation model to find and load classes and resources. Each instance of the class loader has an associated parent class loader, and requests for finding and loading the class can only go to the parent class loader. They cannot go down to the child class loader, which means you can only look up in the parent class loader. You cannot look down in the child class loader. So I want everyone to keep this definition in mind. It will make more sense after we go through this presentation. Please go to page 5. So this is the class loader tree. It's important to understand the structure of the class loader, where are different class loader, and what they are using for. If we understand this class loader tree, it will help us to resolve the class loader problem. So from this tree, at the top of the tree is the Java class loader, and that is the parent of all class loader. The child of the Java class loader is the WebSphere extension class loader, and connect to the WebSphere extension class loader is the OSGI class loader. The child of the WebSphere extension class loader is the application EA class loader, and the web module is the child of all class loader. If you notice, all of the arrows on these pictures are pointing up, which means when a class loader needs a class, it can only go up to the parent class loader to look for the class. It cannot go down to the child class loader. So, for example, when the extension class loader is requested to find a class in the web module, it cannot go down to the application class loader to find the class. So, a class not found exception is drawn. So please go to page 6. So now we're going to look at each class loader in detail. The first one that we're going to look at is the Java class loader. The Java class loader used for loading during the JVM startup, it performs three major tasks: load Java class file, load resource files, and locate native dev library. So the Java class loader contains three types, which this feature on the left-hand side show here. So the top one is the Bootstrap class loader. It uses the Bootstrap class path to find and load a class, and those classes are in the Java Home, JIE, lib folder. The middle one is the extension class loader, And if you see some property Java extension door to find and load a class, so those classes are usually in the Java JIE lib extension folder. The third one is the system class loader. It uses the class path environment variable to find and load the classes. It loads directories and jar files specified by the class path, like Java class path. You can find all these class paths at the headers of the system out log or the trace.log. Please go to page 7. So WebSphere class loader loads WebSphere and application classes that are required at runtime. So it also contains three types. The top one is the WebSphere extension class loader. It's used for loading the WebSphere classes that are required at runtime. And those classes are in the WebSphere home classes, or WebSphere home lib and WebSphere lib extension folder. The middle one is the application class loader. This is used for loading the class at the E level, such as EJB modules, application client modules, the resource adapter, raw file, and dependency jar file at the root of the E file. It's also used for loading the application. It's also used for to load the shared library that associate to the application level. And the last one is the web module class loader. And this one is for loading all the class or jar file within the web binary classes folder or web binary lib folder. It's also used for loading the shared library that associate to the web modules. Please go to page 8. So the OSGI class loader, this was introduced in WebSphere version 6.1. We repackaged WebSphere runtime classes as a set of OSGI bundles. Each OSGI bundle is loaded separately by its own class loader. The OSGI class loader is connected to the extension class loader and the rest of the class loader tree through an OSGI gateway class loader. It is implemented by the old Eclipse OSGI internal base adapter default class loader. So when you look at the trace, you will see that, you know, the class of load from the WebSphere home plugins will be loaded by this class loader. And the OSGI bundle jars are located in WebSphere home plugins folder. So when you see a class is loaded from the WebSphere plugins folder, you know that class is loaded by the OSGI class loader. Please go to page 9. So now let's go through the WebSphere class loader configuration. So please go to page 10. Every class loader has a delegation mode set to either parent first or parent last. The parent first is the default setting, and whenever a class needs to be loaded, the class loader delegates the request to its parent class loader to find and load the class first. If the class cannot be found at the parent class loader, it will try to find and load the class as its local class path. The parent last is opposite. The class loader attempts to find and load the class from its local class path first before it delegates to the parent class loader. So using this class loader mode, an application class loader can override and provide its own version of the class that exists in the parent class loader. I also make a note here to remind that the request can only go to the parent class loader, never go down to the child class loader. So please keep this in mind. Please go to page 11. So I'm provide two examples of the parent first and parent last setting from the class loader viewer, which help you to see the order of the class loader are used for searching the class. The class loader viewer is a tool that you can access through the admin console. This is an example of the class loader order from the class loader viewer with the default parent first setting. So as you can see from this picture, the Java class loader is the first one that trying to find and load the class before any other class loader. The web module is the last one to search for the class. If all of these class order cannot file the class not file exception is dropped because the class is not in the class path. I also make a small correction here in this picture for number 7. It shows that the module class loader, but actually it's an ear class loader. So we will open a service, open a defect to correct this in the next release. Please go to page 12. Here is an example showing the searching order with parent last setting. In this example, both application ear and web modules have the parent last setting. So you can see here is the web module class loader is the first one attempting to find and load a class. If it cannot find a class, it's going to the parent class loader. In this case, it's the ear class loader. And since the ear also have the parent last setting, so it will try to find a class from its local class path first. If it cannot find it, then it will delegate to the parents. So which you can see here from number 3 to number 8 is the parent class loader that try to find and search for the class. Please go to page 13. Let's look at the class load policy for the ear and wool module. The class loader policy controls the isolation of the application. There are two places that you can set the class load policy. The first one is at the server level, and the next one is at the web module level. The class load policy defined at the server level used to determine if a single class loader is used to load all the applications or multiple class loader will be used. You can set the class load policy at the server level to either multiple or single. Multiple is the default setting, which means each application is loaded by its own class loader so that the classes within the ear cannot reference classes in another ear. So single means all the applications are loaded by the same class loader, so all the class and resource in all applications are visible to each other. The web module also has its own policy. Web module class load policy controls the isolation of the web modules, and you can set it either to module or application. Module is the default setting. So if you set the module, each web module in the application is loaded by a separate class loader. And if you set it to application, which means all the web module in the application ear are loaded by the single class loader, that means all the web modules are loaded by the same class loader that used to load the EJB modules, dependency, jar file at the application ear level. In this case, every web module is able to see every other web module's classes. Please go to page 14. So the next few slides, I will show how to change the class load setting from the admin console. So this slide shows where you can change the class load mode and policy for the ear level. When you set the policy to multiple, the class load and mode option below is rated out. The reason it is rated out is because each application is loaded by a separate class loader, so each application can have its own class loader mode. That setting can be done at the application level on different panels. So when you set it to single, the class load mode below is enabled. Because all applications are loaded by the same class loader, so all applications must have the same class loading mode to set here at the server level. Please go to page 15. This panel allows you to change the class loader mode for the ear and class loader policy for the wool. So for the ear, you can set to parent first or parent last here, and you set the web module class load policy to application or module on the same panel here. So please go to page 16. To change the class load mode for the web module, you need to make sure that you go into this panel from the admin console under Manage Modules to set to parent first or parent last for the web modules. Please go to page 17. Now let's look at different examples of the cancer policy so we can get a better understanding of how it's supposed to work. This example of an application cancer policy set to multiple. In this picture, we have two application ears, and each ear has a web module. Since the application policy is set to multiple, each application is loaded by its own class loader. So we have two separate boxes here. One for each ear file to show that they are loaded by different class loader, which in this setting, the classes within the ear cannot preference the classes in another ear. The word module policy from the application E1 on the left is set to modules, so it has its own class loader loading the word. That is the box on the bottom left. And the policy for the web module from E2 on the right is set to application. Therefore, the word 2 is loaded by the same class loader that loads E2. In this case, all the class loading within the E2 are visible to each other. Please go to page 18. So the difference in this example from previous example is that application policy is set to single. So the same class loader is used for loading both applications and the web module in from the E2. So you can see that combine the two box from the previous example that the same class loader is loading both of the ear file. So please go to page 19. So now we're looking at the shared library. So please go to page 20. So what is the shared library? The shared libraries enable you to package the application code outside the scope of the ear and have the code visible to you, either our application on the server or to specific application on the server. So when do you want to use a shared library? You want to use it when you have a common classes that are used by different applications. You can create a shared library from the admin console by going to the environment shared libraries. You can define, the shared library can be defined at different scopes, such as like cell, node, cluster, or server. Once a shared library is created, you must associate it with the server or application in order to use it, otherwise it will be useless. So when you associate the shared library with the application server, the extension jar class loader is used for loading the class in the shared library and make those classes available to all applications deployed on the server. When associate the shared library with the application, the compile class loader is used for loading the class in the shared library and makes those class only available to the application. The shared library can be associated with either the ear or with the word level. So now let's look at the shared library configuration. So please go to page 21. This slide shows how to create a shared library from the admin console. So from the admin console, under environment, you go to the shared library. And the first one, you will define the scope for the shared library. So it can be a shell, node, cluster, or server. And then specify the name for the shared library. It can be anything that you like. And the class path can be a list of a jar file or a list of a directory. But please note that the class path must not be a WebSphere class path. And below there, there's a new option. You can select this option at the bottom of this panel if you want to use isolate shared library. And this is on the new option in WebSphere version 7. So we will look at this option in more detail in a little bit later. Please go to page 22. After we create a shared library, we must associate it with either to the server or to the application. This slide shows how the shared library class loader fits in the class loader hierarchy when associated shared library with the server. So the green box in this picture shows that the shared library class loader is the parent of the application class loader. Classes within in this shared library are loaded by the extension jar class loader. and making the classes visible to all application deployers on the server. So you can also specify like the parent first or parent last for the class loader that loading this shared library. And that's when you can create a class loader to load this shared library. So please go to page 23. This is how it looks like when associated shared library with the application. The class path specified in the shared library is added to the application class path so that the same class loader that loads the shared library will be using for loading the shared library as well. So it's making that classes visible to the application. You can associate the shared library with the application year or to the wall. Please go to page 24. Isolate shared library was introduced in Westview version 7. The reason for having isolate shared library is enable a single instance of the classes to be shared across the application. This helps to save memory footprint, avoid loading the same class multiple times. Another reason to use isolate shared library is when the application cannot use parent last setting, but the application wants to override and use its own version of the class that exists in the parent class loader. You must associate the shared library with the application year or web modules. The option will be ignored if you associate it with the server. The class loader mode for isolate shared library is the parent last, and it cannot be changed. So please make that note in mind. So for example, if you use the parent first setting for the application and you have associated shared library, isolate shared library, the searching order will be the following. So first it will check the shared library to see if it can find load a class. And then it will go into the parent class loader to find and load a class. The last one it will check is in the application year or wall module to find and load a class. So, and if you have the class loader mode setting for the year with the parent last, the search order will be the following. So first it will check in the local class path whether it's the application or the wall module to see if it can find and load a class from there. If not, it will go into the isolate shared library and find and load a class from there. If the isolate shared library doesn't have the class also, then it will go to the parent. So the parent will be the last one that will be searched here in this case. So please go to page 25. So this slide shows how the class loader tree looks like when you associate isolate shared library with the application year or with the web module. So the left picture shows when the isolate shared library is associated with the application year. The class loader that loads shared library is the parent class loader of the year class loader. And the right picture shows when the isolate shared library is associated with the web module. The class loader that loads shared library is the parent class loader of the world class loader. So you can see the difference here is when associated to the year, the isolated shared library class loader is the parent of the year. And when you associate to the web module, the isolated shared library class loader is the parent of the world and not the year. So as you can see, the difference between the isolated shared library and regular shared library is that it has its own class loader to load the shared library, while the other one is using the same application class loader loading the shared library. So please also make a note here that the class loader mode for the isolated shared library is the parent last and it cannot be changed. So please go to page 26. So we have learned different types of class loader and how they work. So now let's look at some of the common issues and how to resolve them. So please go to page 27. The most common issue is the class not file exception. We usually see this exception when the class is not in the class path or the class is not visible to the class loader that looks for it. So here's one of the common scenarios. There are two applications EA deploy on this server. The test 1 jar file is at the root of the EA 1, while the test 2 jar file is at the root of the EA 2. The test 2 jar file depends on the test 1 jar file, and the EA policy is multiple, so that means each EA file has its own class loader loading the EA. So in this case, the class not file exception is true because the test.1 jar file is only visible to the E1 but not to the E2. So please go to page 28. So we can conclude that both E1 and E2 need test.1 jar file. So this test.1 jar file is a common jar file that used by both applications. To resolve this issue, we create a shared library to hold test1 jar file and then associate the shared library with both applications, or you can associate with the server to make it available to all the applications deployed on that server. So please go to page 29. So here is another example of the class not file exception or no class not file error. In this scenario, we have only one application EA, and the test1 jar file is at the root of the EA file, while the test2 jar file and test3 jar file are the web modules. If you follow the red arrow here, that you can see that the test2 jar file is depend on test1 jar file, while the test1 jar file depend on the test3 jar file. And the EA policy is multiple, and the EA class role mode is parent first. The class not file exception is true in this case because it cannot find a class in test3.jar file. It's because the test1.jar file was loaded at the EA by the EA class loader, and it cannot go down to the child class loader to find a class in the test3.jar file. Please go to page 29. So to resolve this issue, we need to place the dependent jar file, test.3 jar file, in the same class loader as test.1 jar file, so that both of the jar files are loaded by the same class loader and visible to each other. So you can either move the test.3 jar file to the root of the EA file, or you can move the test.1 jar file to the web module. So both of them are loaded by the same class loader. Please go to page 31. So no such method error is another common error that we usually see. In this scenario, we have the test.1 jar file within the EA file, while the test.2 jar file within the share library, and the share library is associated to the server. Test.1 and test.2 jar files contain different versions of the same class file. Then test.3 jar file depend on test.1 jar file. We have the application delegation mode set to parent first here, and the error is true because the wrong version of the test.2 jar file is being picked up first, and it does not contain the method 1. So please go to page 32. So to resolve this issue, we can set the class load mode for the EA to parent last so that the correct version of from the EA file to be picked up first. So we want to pick up the jar file at the EA level, not from the shared library. So or another case is that another solution is you can remove the duplicate class, maybe it's the wrong version from the shared library. And that should resolve the issue as well. Please go to page 33. The class cast exception. The source code show under this scenario generate a class cast exception when it's casting the object O to the string, because the code attempt to cast an object to a subclass of which it is not an instance. This is usually an application code issue. To help the developer to debug this issue, we can use the class load viewer or the class load trace to find out where the classes in question are loaded from and by what class loader. The developer is then use this information to examine the code, the source code, and determine if the source object is an instance of the target class, or why the objects of this class are not being cast to each other. So basically, usually this kind of type of problem is more the application code issue, and we just help to find like where the class are loaded from, and then developer can use that information to determine why the class cannot be cached. Please go to page 34. So this brings us to a summary of the today presentation. So we have a look at this, the class or hierarchy and how what's the class or work. We have looked at the class or mode and class or policy and how to configure them from the event console. And we went to the shared library configuration and isolate shared library. We also went through some common issues and how to resolve them. Please go to page 35. So I have added another example of the class cat exception to the appendix here that you can review for, which you can use for your reference. And you can review it at your own time, and you can send me an email if you have any questions. So the example will be covered from page 35 to 37. So we can skip this and go to page 38. So here are some of the links for your preference. The links provide good information about WebSphere class order. Some are like from the Red Book is the one that provides some hints to how to debug the class or issue as well. So you can look through them. It's good for your for reference. So now this concludes my presentation. I would like to return the control back to Joseph.
Thank you, Zane, for a great presentation. At this point in time, Jackie, we would like to open the lines for questions.
We have no questions over the phone.
It looks like we have our first question coming in through the group chat. The question is, do JBBC provider classes and jars get loaded by the extension class loader based on scope?
And the answer is yes.
All right, and here is another question. Talked about class loader and shared library configuration change made by admin console. Can they be made also through wsadmin command line?
Yes, you can use the wsadmin command line to create a shared library.
Okay, and the follow-up question is, if yes, how do we find each object name?
This is a more admin question, so I need to speak to the admin team to find this out so I can get back to you. Can you email me that question?
We do have another question here. Is sun.reflect.delegating class loader always reflection?
Is that like more like a Java class loader?
And then we'll wait for a response here. It's loaded throughout the tree. I see it at the Java class loader, but also underneath app class loaders.
This is Ashish. I'm with the time. So the question that we are understanding is that you are trying to find out what is the delegating class loader always reflection, right? So basically your question is around sun.reflect.delegating class loader. And yes, that class loader is a part of the Java class loader, which is above the extension class loader of the WebSphere. Now, can you describe me more about your last comment? You said this it's loaded throughout the tree. I see it at the Java class loader, but also underneath the application app class loader. By app class loader, do you mean the WebSphere is itself an app to the Java? Do you see at the WebSphere extension level, or you are seeing at the J2E application here and the web module level, you are also seeing that? Okay, so Java Reflect Delegation Class Loader, we are not sure it should not be the part of or should not be included into the extension class loader as well as the year-end VAR module class loader. We definitely like to see where you are seeing and how you are seeing it. Maybe there is the classes are inbuilt into the year and the web modules by itself. But yes, if you have that example, we would like to see that. And if you can contact them, and we both can investigate on that and try to figure it out why.
Okay, and it looks like we don't have any other questions right now. So at this point in time, we will conclude the presentation.